Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Safely through another year, God has brought us on our way. How wonderful it is to know of God's protecting power throughout the past year. And of course, none of us have any idea what lies ahead in 2021. But at least God has brought us to the threshold of a new year. And we very well, the majority of those who are listening to the broadcast right now, will complete the entire year of 2021. I trust it will be a good one for you. I trust it will be an even better one in your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to return to our study in the book of Ecclesiastes. We set that aside for a couple of weeks as we considered an incarnation text in Revelation chapter 12. But now back to our verse-by-verse exposition through the book of Ecclesiastes. And we're going to move into a new chapter today. We actually completed chapter 9 a couple of weeks ago. And we're going to start chapter 10 on this first day of January 2021, knowing, as I do, that because it is a holiday, probably a number of people are off schedule, so those who might normally be listening because of your normal work and drive schedule and whatever it may be, possibly are doing something else today, and probably we have some who are listening today who normally cannot. We were encouraged recently to receive, it's been several weeks ago now, to receive a letter from another city about 200 miles from here, from someone who said, "I've never heard your broadcast until the last several months when, because of COVID, I have been working from home, and I have been listening and enjoying, and thank you so much for your faithful Bible teaching, and here is a check to help you with the cost." What an encouragement that was indeed. Well, welcome, therefore, to this Friday, January 1 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and thank you, those of you whose financial support does keep us teaching God's Word on this station. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. A quick review. The purpose of the book of Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon, guided by the Holy Spirit of God, is to determine what most contributes to a meaningful life. And we have learned, because Solomon has walked us through these things, that wealth and knowledge and sensual pleasure and even the achievements of labor are not the elements that will contribute to a truly meaningful life. But he teaches us that the greatest contribution is wisdom. Wisdom, which is God's truth applied to every area of life. And there are several chapters in this book that are devoted to the value of wisdom. But today, as we move into chapter 10, we're going to be examining its opposite, folly. The opposite of wisdom is folly. And in chapter 10, we're going to learn how to recognize and avoid folly. We're going to learn something about the self-destructive fool. Wisdom is a powerful force in the lives of those where it operates, but folly is a powerful force in the lives of those in which it operates. Of course, the force of wisdom is a positive force. It is productive. It is helpful. It is enlightening and rewarding in the lives of those who exercise wisdom, and folly is just the opposite. It is destructive. It is negative. It is not what you want operating in your life. And so what we have in chapter 10 is a series of proverbs contrasting wisdom and folly. There are a lot of statements in the book of Ecclesiastes that sound like the book of Proverbs. That should not surprise us. Who is the author of the book of Proverbs? Solomon. Who is the author of the book of Ecclesiastes? Solomon. In fact, the Bible tells us that Solomon wrote many more proverbs than the ones that are included in the book we call the book of Proverbs. And so some of them are found in the book of Ecclesiastes. But what we're seeing in chapter 10 is very similar to great portions of the book of Proverbs, rather, especially Proverbs chapters 10 through 29. And what it gives are wise observations and advice on daily living. So what do we see? An overview of chapter 10 will lead us to see, number one, a description of folly. Two, folly in high places. Three, folly in low places. Four, folly in speech. Five, common manifestations of folly. And then, of course, a conclusion to wrap it all up. So that's where we're going. And we start with the description of folly, which is failure to apply God's truth to daily life. If wisdom is God's truth applied to every area of life, then folly is failing to apply God's truth to daily life. Now, let's read verses 1, 2, and 3. Dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. That's verse 1. Verse 2, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Verse 3, even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom, and he shows everyone that he is a fool. A description of folly. What do we have? Well, first of all, we have folly's potential in verse 1, and that takes us back to that interesting statement. Dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment. That's a memorable statement, isn't it? And what it's telling us is that folly has the potential to destroy much good. It is really expanding upon and illustrating the last verse of chapter 9, which isn't surprising, since we move right from chapter 9 into chapter 10. And chapter 9, verse 18 says, wisdom is better than weapons of war. But one sinner destroys much good. And then verse 1 of chapter 10, dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. So it begins by giving an analogy that goes something like this. As dead flies ruin good ointment, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. That's the summary statement of the verse. As dead flies ruin good ointment, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. Surely you wouldn't disagree with the statement that dead flies dropped into, in a bottle of expensive perfume mixed in with a little jar of expensive salve and so forth would, if they're allowed to stay there and to decay, are going to utterly ruin the contents of that bottle or jar or whatever it may be. Indeed, dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment. And a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. That's what it says. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. Here's someone who has been pursuing a life of wisdom, which is what? God's truth applied to every area of life. And then they leave the path of wisdom, maybe just for a little while, a little indiscretion, so it may seem. But that little folly, folly is where they fail to apply God's truth to daily life, that little folly outweighs a great deal of wisdom and honor. It takes a long time. In many cases, years to build up a reputation to be a person of wisdom, and because of that wisdom to receive the honor that goes with the recognition by other people that here's a person who exercises much wisdom in their life, and then one little discretion can ruin it all. A foolish indiscretion can ruin years of wise behavior. Folly, indeed, has enormous potential for destruction, and that's what we're learning in verse 1, folly's potential. A little folly can destroy years of good. You say, that's not fair. Well, whether it's fair or not, you know, that idea of fairness is very subjective. It's very much in the eye of the beholder. But oftentimes when people slip into an indiscretion, whatever it may be, here's a person who has lived a good life, a solid life, a godly life for many years, let's say has been faithful in their marriage for many years, and then in a moment of weakness steps outside the marriage into an immoral sexual relationship, and that becomes known, and all those years of faithfulness to marriage are swept over the dam like a waterfall. It's gone in just a moment of time, just one slip. I've seen that. You've seen that. We've all seen that. I'm thinking of a dear brother. I'm talking about a Christian brother that I knew for many, many years. And this dear brother went to the mission field to serve the Lord and faithfully carried out a ministry there for many years, and then did exactly what I just talked about. In one act of sexual immorality, stepped outside of his marriage and basically ruined his ministry, his life, his authorities that were over him, to whom he was accountable in his ministry, found out about it, and he had to leave that mission field and come home. Now, that brother, as far as I know, has lived a godly life ever since then, and has piled up many more years of wisdom and faithfulness, but he's got a huge blight upon his life that has marred it in the minds of many people permanently. Thankfully, there are people who don't know, and his present life of godliness will give him an opportunity to regain a reputation for wisdom and honor. And even some of those who know what happened are more than happy to forgive him. But even when you forgive someone for something like that, you can forgive, but you can't erase it from your memory. There it is. A foolish indiscretion can ruin years of wise behavior. It may not be a sexual indiscretion. It might be stealing something in a moment of weakness and whatever it may be. But dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. Folly has potential for great destruction. Keep that in mind and ask God to shield you from foolish deeds. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.